Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. Jesus said that we were to be salt and light in this world through the way that we live our lives. America is at a crossroad with the choice to elect a leader that promotes ungodliness, wants to remove Christianity from all government agencies, and stack the Supreme Court with justices that will legislate immorality from the bench. The other choice is someone who seemingly wants to uphold the Constitution, restore Christian values, and stem the flow of illegal immigrants. This nation was not founded by Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, or Jews, but by men and women who were deeply committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is virtually no difference between the Democratic and Republican parties, and this is why many people are attracted to Donald Trump's message of putting America first. The Bible tells us that governments are instituted by God, and the people rejoice when the righteous are in power. This message is entitled, Clinton vs. Trump. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide on June 19th, 2016. And if you have your outlines that were emailed out to you, I'm sorry to say I will not use that outline today. I will use that next week. During the night, I was awakened. I prayed last night, and during the night, and God gave me a message, not necessarily what I like to preach, but He simply said, this is what I want spoken. And so I'm going to speak on that. We will have outlines as the video will come up in about a week and a half. You will have that. And I'm going to be speaking on the 2016 election, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. Now, the people in America are not standing at the crossroads. The choice is to elect a leader. They want to increase abortions, remove Christianity from all government agencies, force more of the homosexual agenda on the American people, confiscate all guns from law-abiding citizens, and stack the Supreme Court with liberal judges who will legislate immorality. The other choice is to uphold the Constitution, bring back Christian values to all government agencies, and stem the illegal flow of people into our nation. We have a definite choice in 2016. It is black and white. It cannot be any more clear. The last generation that knows God in this nation, we are now in our last years. And I'm talking about the people that know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Christians. Because people born after 1980, most of them do not know Jesus Christ. They've been raised and taught evolution. They've been raised to accept homosexuality, homosexual marriages, and they do not know God. We saw that with Bernie Sanders as the young people flocked to him in the Democratic Party, a socialist. Bernie Sanders himself is not a poor man. He's been a senator for a number of years, and he has plenty of money himself. But he wants to bring in socialism, and socialism does not work. If you want a free lunch, there's no free lunch. Somebody's going to pay for it. I want to turn right now to Judges, chapter 2, verse number 6, because I want to hammer this home to you today. In 2016, America either turned back to God or she will be lost forever. It is very, very critical. It is not something we can say, well, you know, things have gone the way they are. If Jezebel get into the office this year, this nation will never recover from that. Let me read to you from the book of Judges, chapter 2, and I'm going to pick it up from verse number 6. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the borders of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also that generation were gathered to the fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, followed other gods, and the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtoreth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them to the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. There was a generation in Israel that knew not God. The generations prior to that had failed to tell about the captivity in Egypt, the Exodus, how they walked through the Red Sea, how God fed them for 40 years in the wilderness. Their clothes never waxed old. Their shoes didn't wear out. They were not sick, except those that sinned. God brought them into the promised land. This is what had been done in America. It started early, after World War II, the change in our educational system. I'm going to try to be specific today, so you understand me. When I'm talking about they, who are they that changed? The Bible says there's going to be an Antichrist system coming. But we'll have the Antichrist, the false prophet, and they're going to rule the entire world. The people, they're going to bring that in. And this is where a lot of people get very nervous. You got to understand, God selected Abraham to bring Christ. Satan selected Abraham's offspring to bring the Antichrist. The Antichrist system is a Kabbalistic system run by renegade Jews. Most of them are not even blood descendants, but they had a religion of Judaism, or the Kabbalistic Judaism. They've been doing this since the days of King Solomon. We're talking about 3,000 years. And to those of you that do not know your history, in 1666, the rabbi simply proclaimed himself Sabbatai Sivai, a Jewish Kabbalistic rabbi from Israel. He lived in Jerusalem, moved to Egypt, proclaimed himself in 1666 to be the Jewish Messiah. You also got to understand that when Jesus came, the Jewish leadership rejected Jesus. They said, he's not our Messiah. He's not the king of the Jews. And the Jewish leadership demanded his death. They have denied him since that time. Now, I don't care if you're a Christian Zionist or not, but you got to understand this. The Jewish people are waiting for their Messiah. They have not accepted Christ. There are thousands of Jews that are Messianic Jews that have accepted Christ. But the majority of the 13 million Jews living in the world today that adhere to the religion of Judaism have rejected Jesus. Now, if you're a Christian and Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life, no man comes to the Father but by me, and you embrace Jewish people and say, we love you, we are happy for you, we are wonderfully happy that you will have your Messiah coming, you are denying Christ. We should love these people, witness to those people, just like we do to any other people group in this world. But we got to understand that Jewish people are waiting for the Antichrist. They think it is the Messiah. The Bible says his name is Antichrist, the beast, or the son of perdition. There is a small group of Kabbalistic Jewish leadership in the world. And when I read Jewish literature, I read their newspapers and so on, and they make fun of it. This is all we Jews, we are, you know, we control the bank, we control Hollywood, we control everything. Well, it is true. I'm not anti-Semitic, but if you look at the different movie houses, production companies in Hollywood, there are very few people that are not part of the Jewish religion. If you look upon the media, the television, the regular ABC, NBC, and CBS, and so on, and Fox News, CNN, they are controlled and owned by Jewish people. They're running it. They run most of the newspapers in the United States and the world. You go to Sweden, you had a House of Bonnier, and they run all the newspapers and all the printing of books and so on. And you go to different nations, and you will find that most of the people in leadership are of Jewish descent, or they practice the Jewish religion. And the question is, why is it so? I tell you why it is so. First of all, they are much more cohesive than Gentiles. Jews stick together. They do fight horrendously among themselves, but they stick together against others. They do business together. They click together. They are determined, just like they have the homosexual mafia, very dedicated, very determined. And when you have a small group dedicated, they can do a lot of things. Secondly, they are inspired by Satan. They are simply having satanic spirits that are propelling them. Because the Bible says the Antichrist will come. There's going to be a system like that. The Bible says that. Which means that Satan has to do a work. And he does that. Now, in order to have a world government and bring in the Antichrist, they cannot have individual nations. And the nation of the United States is a powerful nation. A lot of Christians here. And they have to bring us into submission in order for them to have a world government. That's why young people from 1980 and on are more or less taught to despise America, to despise the heritage, to despise the Bible, to be what they call liberals, accept the homosexual lifestyle, accept everything, whatever they are. And it's done with a purpose. Because, you see, there's no way that the Antichrist can get a hold of America if Christians are here in control and strong. That's why Donald Trump is so hated. You got to understand now, the man is not perfect, but he's not a member of the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations. He's not a member of the Trilateral Commission. He's not been a member of the Bilderbergers. He's not a Freemason. He is a loose cannon that is not part of any of the networks of the world government. He speaks his mind. Now, the other politicians, they are polished. I don't care for them when he uses swear words. But he speaks out and simply say, you know, this is wrong, that's wrong, and so on. Which is what we, the common people, we feel, yeah, there's some things wrong, and he speaks it. That's why he got popular. But you see, the establishment hates him. The Republicans and the Democrats are together in one pot. They're all the same. They all dance to the same tune of the world government. We are the last generation. On Saturday nights, because I came back to Christ under Billy Graham. My wife got saved under Billy Graham. I got a soft spot for the man. His organization is doing great as far as reaching our people to Christ. His son Franklin, I really love him. Man of God. And I watch on Saturday night on TBN when they have classic Billy Graham crusades. I remember some of them. I worked in them. And would you see 100,000 people, 80,000 people in the stadium? We don't have that anymore. That generation, millions that came in under Billy Graham, we are now in our late 60s, 70s, and 80s, and 90s. Many have passed away. This generation, we had Oral Roberts, Jimmy Swaggart, we had Rex Humbert, a number of evangelists and pastors, Jerry Falwell, in the 60s, 70s, and early 80s, and they reached people for Christ. Moral majority, which was part of getting Ronald Reagan elected. Our generation now that I described, we are on the way out. We are fading. And unless we understand that this is a crucial year, America will fall. Listen to these statements. Removal of the Bible reading and prayer was done by the Supreme Court. No legislation, no voting. Supreme Court. Legislation. Abortion. Legalized in 1973 by the Supreme Court. No legislation. Supreme Court legislation. Civil rights to homosexuals. When they a few years ago simply said, well, we got to give civil rights to homosexuals. Homosexuals are not a nationality. They're not an ethnic group. They are renegades. It's a bunch of sinners that are run amok. But the Supreme Court said, we got to give them civil rights. Same with the blacks, the Indians, Mexicans, or whatever. Legalizing homosexual marriages done by the Supreme Court. not legislation. Supreme Court. If you look back in history now, and I'm amazed at the professors in our universities and colleges that are teaching history, they are so stupefied. If you look back on America, the thing that tipped us in morality was not senators, not congressmen, not presidents, but the Supreme Court. We also have judges on federal benches, state levels, and most of the judges in America today legislate. They don't interpret the law, uphold the law. They legislate from their bench. And the president does not say anything. Senators and congressmen do not say anything. People don't understand that. And so we are simply being led down by a small group of people that simply say, this is what we want done. Currently, the Supreme Court have 4 Jews and the rest are Roman Catholics. No born-again person there. That's why the election this year is important. Because we've got one vacancy on the court. There's 2 others that are about ready to die or too old. They're going to be replaced. So whoever becomes a president this year will shape the Supreme Court, which will make America go either to the left or to the right, either turn toward God or turn toward the devil more to the devil. I want you to take now and turn with me to Exodus chapter 18. And I want to begin in verse number 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses set to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is the thing that you do to the people? Why do you sit yourself alone, and all the people stand by you from morning until even? Moses was judging all the people. He was simply the judge. And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you do is not good. You will surely wear away both you and this people that is with you, for this thing is too heavy for you. You are unable to perform it yourself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give you counsel, and God shall be with you. Be you for your people to Godward, that you may bring the cause unto God. And you shall teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, you shall provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hate and covetousness, place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of 10. And let them judge the people at all seasons. It shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto you, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for yourselves, and they shall bear the burden with you. The key verse that I want to bring out now is in verse number 21. By the way, Jethro, which was Moses' father-in-law, was a high priest of God. He's a high priest of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so God used Jethro to tell Moses how to set up the government system in Israel. He said this, you shall provide out of all the people able men, which means men of character, such as fear God. In other words, they worship God. men of truth. When was the last time you met a political person in America that spoke truth? You don't find them. Most of them are liars. They lie to themselves. They lie to everybody else. Men of truth. Hate and covetousness. In other words, they are not coveting. And place such over them to be rulers. We need godly men and women. But you see, we can only get good men and women if there are enough Christians that will run for office. How can you expect a man or woman that is a Hindu to bring forth biblical morality? Or a Muslim? Or any other religion? Or a Buddhist? They're going to bring forth from their religion. And God said, get people that fear God. Let's turn to Proverbs 11:11. Proverbs 11:11. Some of you might say, well, why do you get involved in politics? I'm involved in politics because God is, and God's people should be. We're going to turn to Proverbs. And I know that I probably lose some support today, but I'd rather please God than please men. Proverbs chapter 11. You read the following. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it's overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. When the upright are in power, the city is blessed. When the wicked are in power, the cities are destroyed. Look at our cities. Detroit, Oakland, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago. Crime, destruction. Is there any end to it? No. Because the wicked are in rule. Proverbs 25:5. That's Proverbs 25, verse number 5. Take away the wicked before the king, and the throne shall be established in righteousness. Take away the wicked, and the throne will be established. Vote away the wicked, and God's throne will be established. Why don't we do more than it? Proverbs 29:2. 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. It's clear from the Bible here that God wants his people to be in charge of nations. I was born and raised in Sweden. And if you want to know and see a failed state, a failed nation, look at Sweden. Prior to 1950, Sweden had strong churches. They had missionaries going out all over the world. And matter of fact, if we had one murder a year, that was a sensation in Sweden, in the whole nation. I remember as a child growing up in the 50s that they might have one or two murders a year in Sweden. And it made the headlines all over. Today, they have murders all the time. The nation has failed. The Christian leadership is gone. Very few remain. And the reason is, the word of God was not held up. And the nation was destroyed. The Christian faith was destroyed first. And then the rest of it followed. If this is what the world government wants for the United States, let me take it to the book of Amos right now. The prophet Amos, and we're going to look in chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for your iniquities. Can two walk together, except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion crane out of his den if he had taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not afraid? Shall it be evil in the city, and the Lord has not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servant the prophets. The lion have roared, who will not fear the Lord God, has spoken, who can but prophesy. Publish in the palaces of Ashdod, and to the palaces of the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourself upon the mountain of Samaria, and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. For they know not to do right, says the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore thus says the Lord God, an adversary there shall be even right about the land. He shall bring down your strength from you, and your palace shall be spoiled. Thus says the Lord, as a shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs, or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria, in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus on a couch. Hear you and testify in the house of Jacob, says the Lord God, the God of hosts, in a day that I shall visit the transgression of Israel upon him. I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut out and fall to the ground. I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the house of ivory shall perish, and the great house shall have an end, says the Lord. Chapter 4. Hear this word, you kind of Bashan, there in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say unto his master, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you, that he will take away you with hooks, and you will pursue with the fish hooks. And you shall go out at the breaches, every one at which is before her, and you should cast them into the palaces of the Lord. God spoke through Amos, and he told Israel, you have sinned. You committed whoredom, idolatry, fornication, adultery, murder, theft. And he said, I will punish you. This is what we're doing in America today. Us Christians are not doing it. But you see, it's being done because the Christian generations in the 60s and 70s and 80s did not understand that they had to get a hold of the political system. They could not leave that to the devil. They left it to the devil. It's the same thing if you have a car. And you park it on the street at night, and you leave the keys in it, the door open. Of course, the cars could be gone in the morning. You can't say, oh, man, these terrible thieves. It's your problem, stupid. You left the key in there. You let the door wide open. You asked them to take it. And we have abandoned the political system. And because of that, we are now suffering. Now we're down to the last moment. Let me take you to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy the 28th chapter. And I want to pick it up in verse number 58. America was founded by Christians. No nation on the earth has been like America. You see, the people that came to America, the pilgrims and the others, they were oppressed in Europe. Europe is America's Egypt. The people came out of Egypt to get freedom, to worship, not to be told what to believe, to have freedom. And when the Constitution was written, it was written by men who feared God. When they met in Philadelphia, for several days they argued, until one of them stood up and said, "How can a nation rise without God knowing it? We need to pray." And it was when he started to pray that the Holy Spirit helped them to craft the Constitution as we have it. That's a God-given instrument. In Europe, you had kings. People did not have any freedom. You didn't vote. There was simply a king, revolution, whatever. Same in the Middle East. Same in other parts of the earth. This is the only place where it's spoken that all men are equal, created by God, and that all men and women have the right to worship God in freedom. No other nation. England a little bit close, but they were still in bondage. Do you think that Satan liked that? Of course not. He's done his best over the years to destroy it. And now, we're down to the last little thing we got left of this nation. It will be decided in November this year if we're going to sink or if we're going to come back. That's how close it is. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 56. God said this, "The tender and delicate woman among you, which will not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward her husband of her bosom, and toward her son and toward her daughter." God said, "I will destroy your families. I will set the mother against her husband, the husband against his wife, children against children." We see it today. It's very common. Husband murdering the family, wife murdering children. That's part of a judgment. "And toward the young one that comes out from between her feet, and toward the children we shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in a siege and straitness, wherever your enemy shall distress you at the gates. If you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will make your plagues wonderful, and the plagues of your seed even great plagues, and of the long continuance, and sore sickness, and the long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of. They shall cleave unto you. Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon you, unto you be destroyed. And you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven, for multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it shall come to pass, does the Lord rejoice over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked off from the land will you go to possess it. And the Lord's going to scatter you among all people from one end of the earth to, even to the other. And there you shall serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shall you find no ease, neither shall the sole of your feet have rest. But the Lord shall give you a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. And your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, would God it were even. At even you will say, would God it were morning. For the fear of your heart, when you shall fear, and for the sight of your eyes, which you shall see. And the Lord shall bring you into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I speak unto you. You shall see it no more again, and there you shall be sold unto your enemies, for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. God told Israel, you mess up, and I destroy you. He's speaking to America today. These words apply to America. If we do not turn, he will do to us what he did to Israel. He will bring us back to Egypt. The world government will rise out of Europe. And they will come over here and rule. And they will take our young men and send them away to fight here and there and yonder. They will plunder us. They will take our women and put them out of places, whatever they want. It will happen. Can it be avoided? It can be avoided for a season if we as a nation turn to God. Europe is Egypt for the American people. I came out of Europe. I don't like Europe. I don't want to live there anymore because it's a different system. There's no freedom. In Sweden, a person pays 80% tax. He lives on 20%. That's socialism. You have about 50% income tax. Then you have sales tax, 25%, including food. Then you have sale of gasoline on top of that. There's tax on your telephone. Whatever you have is taxed. And the system of the health system is breaking down with all the immigrants coming in. The Sweden deserve it. They turn away from God. And they are reaping now. That generation alive there now are reaping what they've been sowing. Can we take a clue and say we don't want that to happen in America? Turn with me to Numbers chapter 14. That's the book of Numbers, chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. By the way, Resurrection Life of Jesus Church worldwide is not incorporated. This church is not under the bondage of the government. I can preach whatever I want to preach because I'm not under the bondage of the government. This church is not registered. It's a sovereign church under the Lord Jesus Christ. In Numbers 14, I want to read the first four verses. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Now, they didn't weep over that they left God. They wept over when they had sinned that God said there's going to be a punishment. And you know what? I'm appalled, and I will state this publicly. I'm appalled out of funerals in Orlando, Florida. Baptist churches, other churches, bringing in these killed homosexuals, singing the songs of Zion, Amazing grace. The men and women that died lived in sin. They had abandoned God. They were not walking with God. They wanted nothing to do with God. And to bring them into the churches and give them a Christian funeral is hypocrisy. We need to stand up and say, I don't condone that they were killed. But we need to say this. If a person dies without Christ, he's going to hell. There's no way you can have a nice funeral and say, oh, you know, this guy with this and that, and I weep over them. They're gone. We need to face reality. They went to hell. And they are screaming in pain right now. I don't care how much flowers you put on those caskets. They're in pain. You see, we trying to cover up. We need men and women in the pulpits that will simply say, truth is truth and lies are lies. The church is weak because we don't preach the gospel. Jesus crucified, risen the third day. There's a heaven, there's a hell. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we have died in the land of Egypt, and would God we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore has the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that the wives and the children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain. Let us return into Egypt. The people of Israel had seen all the miracles. And they didn't like God. People hate God. Do you know, I don't celebrate Christmas. But Christmas is made out of Christ and Mass. And now, in most stores this last year, there were holiday greetings. You didn't hear Christmas that much anymore. Because the name Christ is an offense to the world. The name Jesus is an offense to the Clintons. It's an offense to the Democrats. It's an offense to Bernie Sanders. They hate him. And what do they want to do? They want to take America and take it back into Egypt, Sodom and Gomorrah. We Christians need to wake up and stand. These people are playing for keeps. It's not a joke. They're playing for keeps. Now, Donald Trump is not a perfect man. He has failed marriages. He's been married at least 3 or 4 times. He's done some things he shouldn't have done. But you look upon King David. King David was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He was a liar. He even denied God at one time when he was with the Philistines. And he simply made up he was mentally ill. He was drooling. He made himself to be mentally ill so he could survive. He asked for forgiveness, and God forgave him. The Apostle Paul was a murderer. He killed Christians. He had Christians killed. And Jesus reached down and touched that man and said, follow me. And he became the greatest apostle. I do not have a clean life behind me. I've been using alcohol. I was smoking. Fornicating, almost killed a man one time before I came back to the Lord. It didn't disqualify me. I repented. I was forgiven. And when God forgives, he cleanses us and he uses us. There's no doubt in my mind that God has raised up Donald Trump for this very hour. He could not use anyone in the Republican Party. Ted Cruz, party establishment, Rubio and all the others. They all part of the establishment. And you got someone on the outside and raised him up to simply shake things up. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 44. That's the book of Isaiah chapter 44. I was aware of a prophecy this week that was given in 2011 to he was a fire chief in the fire department, a Christian. And God gave him a vision in 2011 and said that Donald Trump is going to be president of the United States of America. He thought that was happening in the election 2012. So he put aside the prophecy. And a copy was given to a medical doctor. And just recently, this medical doctor was brought out to a person and simply said, "Have you seen his prophecy?" And exactly the way that the race took place in the primaries was a description in that prophecy. God said, "He's my man." But God's people need to pray. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 28. Notice now, Isaiah lived 200 years before this took place. This was prophesied 200 years in advance. Verse 28. "That says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple your foundation shall be laid." 45:1. "Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I will hold him, to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two lead gates, and the gate shall not be shut." God spoke to the prophet Isaiah and said, he had spoken earlier, "My people go into captivity. But I will raise up a heathen king that will not know me. I will raise him up, and I will use him as a battering ram to open up Jerusalem, to send back my people after the captivity." Look in Ezra chapter 1, the book of Ezra chapter 1. And I want to read here the first four verses. "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all the kingdom and put it also in writing." Notice now, this king was not saved. He was a heathen. But God stirred him up and gave him a message. "Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whoso remains in any place where he sojourns, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods, and with beasts, beside a freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem." God took this heathen king. He didn't convert him to begin with. We don't know if King Cyrus later became a believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he took him as an unbeliever, raw, and said, I'm going to use this man to open up the road back to Jerusalem. There's been several prophecies in the last year that God has chosen this man, Donald Trump, who is not saved at this, as far as I know right now. He's rough, he's bold, he's opinionated, but God raised him up and simply said, I'm going to have him to clean up America. I know I'm taking a step out, and I know I'm going to be scolded, criticized by many people. I did not select, I did not say, I'm going to preach about this today. I was going to preach on love. You know, on our mailing list, you know the sermon I mailed out. But last night, the Holy Spirit began to talk to me when I was in prayer. Woke me up during the night and said, this is what I want. I'm taking a stand now for Trump. I'm not waiting after he's elected and says, oh, that's good. During the American Revolution, not everyone living in America were part of the revolution. There were thousands upon thousands of colonists that simply said, no, we are loyal to England. And the people that signed the Declaration of the Declaration of Independence, they simply had to stand up and risk their lives. The victory was not won yet. They had not won. But they stood up in advance and said, here I am. Give me freedom. Give me liberty or death, one of them said. That's what you and I need to do. We need now to come out of our hiding places. We cannot do like the Israelites did when the Midianites were over them, hiding in bushes. We need to come up and stand and say, thus says the Lord God, we are not going to tolerate sin anymore. We want America to turn around, and we're going to use our power to vote, and we're going to use our power to pray and to fast. Let me take you now to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Some of you feel sorry for Hillary and say, how can you be so hard on her? After all, she's a grandmother now and all that other stuff. But let me read to you from Matthew 7:15. Jesus said this, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or fig or thistles? Even so every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. You can look upon Bill and Hillary Clinton, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Look at their record. Have they furthered the kingdom of God any time in their lives? And the answer is no. Have they furthered the kingdom of Satan in their lives? And the answer is all the time. By their fruit you shall know them. I'm not speaking about them as individuals. I'm speaking about their policies, their doctrine, and what they want to do with this nation. Lots of people have received prophetic words about Trump. But this man I talked about, Mark Taylor, he was a fire chief, received back in 2011. And he simply got in a prophecy. He simply said that God raised up Trump for this hour. I remember back in 1964, I worked and I tried to help out to get Barry Goldwater elected. And of course, he was slaughtered in the price of the medium. By the way, Barry Gold was a Jew. But he's a good man. He stood for some principles. And he was slaughtered. I worked hard to help to elect Ronald Reagan. I stood by that. And now, for this year, 2016, this is the time when we as Christians, if we do not vote right this year, it will be lost. Whatever freedom we have will be taken away from us. What do we need to do? First of all, we need to pray. I have started personally praying for Donald Trump every day. Salvation. I'm praying that God shut the enemy up. Whatever the polls are, whatever the stuff they pull out around him, let it be destroyed. Let him go like a bulldozer straight down the road. We need to fast. Now, I'm not praying for Donald Trump per se. I'm praying for our nation. But our nation needs a man. It needs a figurehead. And God selected this man. That's what I pray for him. But I'm praying for our nation. You need to pray every day between now and November. We need to fast. We need to pray that God will do a miracle. That our generation will come out by the millions. And that younger people will see the light and come out by the millions. So that Donald Trump will be elected president of the United States of America. Let me close by reading from Psalm 2. That's the book of Psalms, the second Psalm. If you read this. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. No man can get into the White House unless God wills it. Prayer will determine if God will allow Trump that he has selected, or if he will allow Jezebel to get in there. But no one can come in by themselves. Then should he speak to them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to him, me, you are my son, this day have I begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces, like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. I got a word. Jezebel and all the others, judges, you better kiss the king now, King Jesus, so you can be saved while you're still on earth. Because I tell you what, unless you bow your knees to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will perish and die in your sins. And in hell you will lift up your eyes and cry, mercy. And there will be no mercy. And from hell, you'll be taken to the lake of fire. And there you will find the rotten Democrats, the rotten Republicans, all the rotten judges, all of the people that conspired against the Son. The Antichrist, the false prophet, all going to be there. And you will look at one another and say, we were the most stupid beings on this earth. We were the most dumbest people living that didn't realize that there is a God in heaven, that there's a Son by the name of Jesus Christ, and that there is a Holy Spirit that moves upon the earth. Let's pray for these people, including Hillary and Bill and all others, to be saved. They need to be saved. God loves them too. He wants them to be saved. But he cannot stand their sins. So in closing now, here's what I'm telling you. We're down to the wire. We will never again get an election like this. This election is between Satan and God. This is the final choice we got to make. And the generation that know God, this is the time for you to begin to pray like you never prayed. Oh God, have mercy on our nation. Oh God, save our nation. I pray for Donald Trump to be saved. I pray you will shape him, Lord, like you shaped King Cyrus. I'm going to fast and pray for him and for our nation. And I will do the uttermost to tell people around me about how to vote. And I will do the uttermost what I can where I live. This is our hour. This is when we can do something. And the question is, will you slump back in your chair and say, oh man, I'm too tired. This is the time to rise. Because if you lose in November, don't blame God. Don't blame me. But after November, if you lose, that's when you will start eating the bitter herbs. And they will be bitter. So now is the time we have. What about if you're not saved, you're watching me? If you say, I want to have Christ. I want to have that faith that you have. Here's what you do. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross. I receive your forgiveness. He will save you. When we're finished here, Charles Terrell will come. You will hear his voice. And he will take you step by step to make sure that you know how to get saved. He will pray with you before he's finished. About 8 minutes, 9 minutes. Very short. So you do that. And to those of you that are saved, you are Christians, I challenge you. It's up to you. The blood is off my hands. I've done today what God spoke to me to do. It's up to the Holy Spirit to speak to you now. And it's up to you to receive of the Holy Spirit. May God help you to receive the Holy Spirit. But it's a tear to come and close in prayer.
Thank you, Lord, for the message that you gave the pastor. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that the Lord, we want to ask you that you have it your way. Let it be your way, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. And let more and more people from the pulpit preach. Preach with boldness. Preach with courage, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Oh, now is the time. And now is high time to awake out of our sleep. Hallelujah. For our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness or chambering or wantonness or envy or strife. But let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for a mighty victory, O Lord. And in Proverbs 11:19 it says, as righteousness tendeth to life, so they that pursue evil pursue it to their own death. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, that you are God and there's none beside you, Lord. And Lord, as you love us with all your heart, you are the God of judgment. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for waking up your people today, we pray, Father. Wake up your people and let them stand strong in the Lord. Let them pray without ceasing. Let them give thanks for all things, for that's the will of God in Christ Jesus. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for a mighty victory. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Lord, the time will come that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God high exalted him and he gave him a name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, Lord, we know we are in the winning team, and let us stay in the winning team. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father, oh, for using us in such a mighty way to preach the word and be in season and out of season, we pray. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for a mighty victory in God's people. And let us spread the good news of the gospel to every creature under heaven, we pray in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we want to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. And pray this prayer in Jesus' precious and a mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with his shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that he sent his own Son to pay a debt he did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
Been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was entitled Clinton versus Trump. America is standing at a crossroad with the upcoming presidential election. Hillary Clinton is a modern Queen Jezebel in the way that she promotes ungodliness, wants to remove Christianity from all government agencies, and stack the Supreme Court with justices that will legislate immorality from the bench. She is not walking with the Lord and only promotes evil. Donald Trump, on the other hand, seemingly wants to uphold the Constitution, restore Christian values, and stem the flow of illegal immigrants. Trump is not a perfect man, but he has said that he wants to do certain things that are right. Satan hates this nation and is diligently working to enslave the American people under a world government. There is virtually no difference between the Democratic and Republican parties, and many people are attracted to Trump's message of putting America first. The Bible tells us that governments are instituted by God, and that the people rejoice when the righteous are in power. This nation was founded by men and women who are deeply committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. America will be destroyed if we don't fervently pray and stand in the gap with our votes, since we are the last generation that knows the Lord. Are you willing to do your part? This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1553. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.